Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever truly stopped to consider how deeply measurement is woven into the fabric of your daily life? From brewing your morning coffee, timing a complex recipe, or even understanding the weather forecast, it's not just a convenience, it's, well, the invisible language of our world. Today, we're taking a deep dive into the fundamental concepts of measurement. We'll explore its surprising history, its crucial evolution, and why understanding this foundational language is absolutely key to making sense of everything around you. Our mission is to extract the most important insights from our source material, a fantastic chapter focusing on units of measurement, and really show you the power and precision.
That's an excellent point. What's fascinating here is just how profoundly human practices and measurement have evolved. We've journeyed from incredibly approximate ways of gauging quantity to the remarkably precise and universally standardized systems we now rely on every single moment. This shift wasn't merely about convenience, it was a revolution, really. Imagine trying to build a complex structure or trade goods across continents when everyone is using their own hand or a random stone as a unit. The move towards accuracy and clarity has fundamentally reshaped our ability to cooperate and innovate.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Imagine a world without any standardized rulers or scales. Our sources tell us that in early ages, people got incredibly creative, but also, well, quite inconsistent. For length, they'd use parts of their own bodies, like a handspan, the distance from thumb to pinky, or a cubit, which was the length from your elbow to your fingertips, and of course, the trusty footspin.
Right, and for weight.
For weight, it was often seeds, grains, or even just stones, each one varying in size naturally, and time, while that was simply read from the sun, moon, and other heavenly bodies.
The problem, as you can probably already tell, is that these methods, while practical for immediate local needs, created immense difficulties, especially for anything requiring consistency or larger scale cooperation. My handspan is likely quite different from yours, right? As of the sizes of random seeds or stones.
Exactly.
This inherent subjectivity meant that every transaction, every construction project, every shared task was open to dispute. This chaos underscored the absolutely crucial need to have a fixed, universally understood unit. Without it, trust was undermined, and large-scale endeavors became, well, nearly impossible.
Absolutely. That need for a fixed unit became glaringly apparent, precisely because measurement is so incredibly necessary in our everyday lives, even for seemingly simple things. Think about it. Determining the amount of fabric needed for a custom-made dress, maybe, or verifying the weight of the groceries you buy to ensure you're getting what you paid for.
Good examples.
How much sugar goes into your morning tea, or the precise amount of fuel required to fill your car. All these tasks, large and small, rely entirely on accurate shared measurement.
And this brings us to the fundamental building blocks of any measurement. Our sources highlight that every measurement, no matter its complexity, boils down to two core components: a number and a unit. The number quantifies how much of something there is.
All right.
And the unit tells us what exactly is being measured. So if we say the length of your classroom is 10 meters, the number 10 gives us the quantity, and meter clarifies the dimension being measured. This simple combination is what makes measurement truly effective, clear, fair, and accurate for everyone.
So given this foundation, we naturally arrive at a really important distinction: standard units versus non-standard units. Non-standard units are essentially those ad hoc informal measurements where someone might use, say, a paperclip to measure a notebook.
Or maybe a piece of yarn.
Exactly, or yarn to estimate someone's height. They're personal, and they're useful only to the person using them in that specific moment.
And that's precisely why standard units are so profoundly essential. If we step back and look at the broader implications, standard units are truly a universal language for quantity. They are the universally agreed-upon benchmarks that ensure clarity, consistency, and agreement across the globe. Today, for the utmost accuracy and international collaboration, we primarily use SI units, or Standard International Unit.
SI units, right.
This system was developed to overcome the very real problems of differing local units. Without standardized units, scientists in different countries couldn't reliably replicate experiments, engineers couldn't collaborate effectively on global projects. These are the kinds of real-world consequences that underscore the critical importance of a shared measurement language. So while your handspan is unique to you, we use hours, minutes, and seconds for time, kilograms and grams for mass, degrees for temperature, and meters and centimeters for length.
It's easy to take that shared language for granted sometimes, and our sources highlight a common misconception here. My handspan is the same as yours.
Which clearly isn't true. Non-standard units differ for each person. That's precisely why we use standard units now, for fairness and accuracy.
That real-world impact is so powerful. Our sources share the story of Mira the Little Builder, which really drives this home. Mira was trying to build a birdhouse. She first tried to measure the wood using her hand.
Like in the old days.
Exactly. But when she put the pieces together, nothing quite fit. It was frustratingly wonky. Then her dad handed her a ruler. Suddenly, with the consistent standard measurements, the birdhouse pieces aligned perfectly and she built it without a hitch. Mira realized, now I know why standard units are so useful. It makes everything consistent, functional, and reliable.
A great little illustration of the principle.
So, now that we understand why standard units are so crucial, let's explore some of the most common measurements we encounter daily, starting with how we gauge distance. Okay, first up, measurement of length. Length is essentially the distance between two points, or simply how long something is. We commonly use units like the millimeter, pavement, centimeter, meter, m, and kilometer, kilometers. You probably recognize these from everyday use, whether you're measuring a small object for a project or planning a road trip. Oh, and the sources mention the conversions, like 10 millimeters in a centimeter, 100 centimeters in a meter, and 1,000 meters in a kilometer, useful to keep in mind.
Absolutely. And for measuring length, we have a range of precise tools, each suited for different scales. For smaller items like a pencil or maybe a piece of chalk, you'd use a ruler or scale. They're pretty straightforward to use. Just place the object at the zero mark. Quick, accurate measurements.
Got it.
For longer or less rigid measurements, like determining the length of a room or a piece of fabric, or even getting body measurements for a tailor.
Ah, yes, the tailor.
A measuring tape is invaluable due to its flexibility. Then there's the meter scale, or meter rod, a straight, rigid tool precisely 1 meter long. You often see these in shops for measuring fabric or for larger objects that need a straight line measurement, like a table width or a blackboard.
Makes sense.
And of course, for truly vast distances, like from your home to school or across cities, that's where kilometers become incredibly useful truly for the long, long road ahead.
Okay, next, let's talk about measurement of mass. Think of mass as the stuff an object is made of the amount of matter present in it. Everything from a tiny grain of rice to a massive truck has mass. For very light objects, we use milligrams, MBG. For small to medium items like fruits or a bag of sugar, grams G.
Right.
And for heavier objects like a bag of flour or even a person, kilograms, kilogram. Again, there are standard conversions.
Wow.
1,000 milligrams in a gram, 1,000 grams in a kilogram.
And to measure mass, you'll most commonly encounter digital weighing machines these days. In shops, kitchens, gyms, they give you a precise numerical readout. But there's also the classic common balance. You still see them widely used, maybe by a vegetable seller, for instance.
The ones with the two pans.
Exactly. It operates on the principle of equilibrium. You place the item on one pan and known standard weights on the other. When both pans are perfectly level, you've found the item's mass. It's important to remember, and this is another misconception alert from our source, that a kilogram measures mass, the amount of stuff.
Not distance.
Correct. We use meters for distance. This understanding is key for everything from accurate medical dosages to shipping enormous quantities of goods, even understanding things on a planetary scale like how much the Earth is.
Good point. Now, on to measurement of capacity. This term refers to the amount of liquid that a container can hold. Think about how much water fits into a glass or how much milk is in a carton. The common units here are milliliter, ml, liter, l, and kiloliter, kl. And the conversions are similar. 1,000 millilitres in a liter, 1,000 L's in a kiloliter.
And for precise measurement of capacity, especially in scientific or cooking contexts, a measuring cylinder is often used.
Mm-hmm.
To give you some practical scale, your small reusable water bottle, just enough for a quick sip-sip array, holds an amount typically measured in milliliters, maybe 500 millilitres.
Right, ml.
But then for big water tanks on a rooftop that hold the water supply for an entire building, that much liquid is measured in much larger units, kiloliters, or at least hundreds or thousands of liters. The principle of capacity scales from the smallest drop to the largest reservoir.
Moving on to measurement of time. Time is, well, the duration between two actions or events. We typically measure it in seconds, minutes, and hours each. These are units we interact with constantly, from planning our day to watching a sporting event. Conversions here are pretty familiar, 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour.
Yep, we know those well. For measuring time, we rely on watches, wall clocks, and stopwatches. A standard clock typically has three hands, the hour hand, the minute hand, and the fast-moving second hand. Very short durations, like the time it takes to blink your eyes or for your pulse to beat once, those are measured in seconds.
Quick things?
Exactly. Longer durations, like the time you spend eating breakfast or taking a quick bath, usually minutes. And even longer durations, like your entire school day, the length of a movie, or a cross-country flight, are measured in hours. Accurate timekeeping is fundamental to, well, almost everything in modern society. Global navigation, financial markets.
Right. Everything needs to be synchronized. Okay. Finally, let's look at measurement of temperature. This tells us how hot or cold an object is. The common units you'll encounter are degrees Celsius, degrees C, and Fahrenheit, degrees F. You might know that normal human body temperature is around 98.6 degrees F or 37 degrees C.
That's the benchmark. And the primary tool for measuring temperature is a thermometer. A clinical thermometer, for instance, is specifically designed to measure our body temperature, especially when we suspect a fever. It often used to use a mercury column, though digital sensors are much more common now, giving a precise reading.
Digital is easier, for sure.
Definitely. As our thermometer time example reminds us, when you're feeling hot and sick, a thermometer tells your body's temperature in degrees Celsius, degrees C, which is crucial information for doctors to assess your health. And temperature measurement is also vital in many other fields, climate science, food storage, industrial processes, where even small variations can have significant consequences.
What's truly fascinating is how these different types of measurements seamlessly interweave in our daily lives, often without us even realizing it. Our source shares that delightful story of Manu's measuring mission to bake a cake. Manu carefully used grams to measure the flour for her recipe.
That's right.
Then set her kitchen timer in minutes to ensure the perfect baking time.
Time.
She checked the oven's temperature in degrees Celsius to make sure it was just right for her batter.
The temperature.
And before serving her masterpiece, she even measured the length of her table to ensure there was enough space for everyone.
Length, all four.
Exactly. Manu smiled, realizing, I used all four types of measurements in one recipe. It truly shows just how interconnected and absolutely vital these precise measurements are in seemingly simple activities. So what does all of this mean for you, our listener? We've journeyed through the surprising history of measurement, unpacked the vital distinction between standard and non-standard units, and explored length, mass, capacity, time, and temperature. All of these concepts are not just academic, they are deeply interconnected and fundamentally vital for navigating your world with clarity and confidence.
That's the core takeaway.
Yeah.
Relevance and application. You're already a master of measurement in so many ways, even if you don't think about it. Yeah. Think about it. You might use a scale to weigh your school bag to ensure it's not too heavy for your back.
Good example.
You certainly check the temperature on weather apps every morning. Seeing 30 degrees C immediately informs your clothing choice for the day. You track how tall you are using a measuring tape. And of course, you check the clock constantly to ensure you reach school or your next appointment on time.
All the time.
So this raises an important question. Now that we've taken this deep dive, how much more aware are you of all the precise measurements happening around you every single day? They are truly the silent, indispensable language of our organized modern world.
Indeed, understanding measurement from its ancient origins to its cutting-edge applications truly helps you make sense of your daily life with greater precision, fairness, and understanding. It transforms what seems mundane into something incredibly powerful.
And here's a thought for you to ponder as you go about your day, straight from our source material. What happens if we don't measure things correctly? How might those small inaccuracies in length or time or temperature lead to vastly different, perhaps confusing, or even wrong results in your own world?
Something to think about. Keep curious, keep observing, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.